We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
What's going on? It is week 7 in the NFL. It's about to be week 7 in the NFL. And you know what that means. It's Wednesday night, and we're ready for the Roto World Roto Grinders DFS Pick 6. We're on rotogrinders.com. Of course, I'm Eric Grant, and I'm joined by two of the best in the business. We got Rich Rebar. Lord Reeves, what's up, man?
Crane, man, what's happening? Week 7 already. You know, you guys wanted me to save my story because I was telling Dev how much I took a bath last weekend. So they wanted me to save my story and my swappage of what I did on Sunday morning. I think I mentioned on the show that I play like all my cash games. I play on FanDuel because I think it's just I have a lot more success there beating. I count on the FanDuel cash game to fund everything I play elsewhere. And last week I had this lineup said it was hot. I was remembering I was tweeting my buddy JJ Zachary. So you guys know him. That's not a humble brag. But you know, I had James Conner in my lineup. I had Tyler Boyd. This lineup was fire. It was good. I was feeling good about it. Then Dalvin Cook is officially out. Got a jam Latavius Murray everywhere. I said, I got a little extra money. I'll swap out Connor. I'll go to Christian McCaffrey. I'll take Boyd out. Let's roll the dice, man. I feel like it's going to be a shootout in London. I'll put Amari Cooper in this lineup, too. Dude, my wife kicked me out. I'm on location. I'm in the shed, just out here. Just took a bath. It was horrible. But we're going to make up for it week 7 because it's CJ Beathard week, gents.
Hey, it's CJ Beathard week, and guess what? It's not Amari Cooper week this week, and it may never be again after he died on the field last week. And also joining us, we got Evan Silva. Mr. Silva, did you have a better week than Mr. Reeves?
I was definitely – I mean, it was one of those weeks where I felt like I just got everything wrong. Thankfully, I didn't take too bad of a bath, and that was because I had a lot of Case Keenum, who was top 15. Last week, just so you know, Crane.
Don't make me walk off again. Yeah. It's too early in the show.
Okay, he did have over 20 fantasy points, though. Just so you know, and him paired with Emmanuel Sanders was a winning combination. This week, I think that I'm really excited about this slate. I think it's a really high scoring slate. One of the other things that we talked about before the show, when you guys were trying to give away all the good stuff, was that the Thursday through Monday is white hot, man. I mean, first of all, I think that the Cardinals defense on Thursday is an awesome play at home against the Broncos. And then on the back end, Saquon is the Monday Night Hammer. So I would encourage the listeners to, if you could come up with some good lineups for that Thursday, Monday, I would encourage people to play that.
Yeah, if you guys are playing the Thursday, Monday slate and you don't have exposure to these, like, these island games, especially the primetime games on Sunday and Monday with the Chiefs on the slate, the Bengals, and the Giants and Falcons and Saquon and the entire Falcons offense, you ain't going to be feeling so good about your leg. Can you imagine if you sit there and you know what's going to happen? People are going to be tweeting out pictures of, hey, my Sunday, Thursday lineups are crushing. Look at all this money I'm winning. And it's going to happen at like 7 o'clock on Sunday night. And those guys are just going to get killed because these, like you said, Evan, these nighttime games on the primetime this weekend, they are hot fire. So Reeves, how we doing, man? You about ready to jump into the slate?
Let's do it, bro.
All right. Well, let's start off with Cleveland at Tampa, a total of 50 in Tampa. They're 3-point favorites at home. And I got to talk about Mr. Baker Mayfield because we talked about some stuff we did last week that was maybe not the smartest thing ever. Last week, I fell in love with Baker Mayfield later in the week. And, you know, initially I said, you know, I'm just going to lock in Matt Ryan. I'm just going to, you know, there's nothing not to like about Matt Ryan here. And then Sunday morning rolls around, feeling a little frisky, feeling a little excited. And I said, Baker, let's do it, buddy. And Reeves, please tell me it's going to be a better week this week.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, you look at what Baker Mayfield's done the past 2 weeks. It hasn't been all that impressive. They've had a boatload of drives, too. If you even go back 3 weeks to that Raiders game, he's averaging about 15 possessions per game. Last week, I kind of thought would be a little more of a struggle for him still against the Chargers. You have kind of started to right the ship a little bit, and they were all over him, man. He threw two dimes, though, early in that game. One to our boy Antonio Callaway, who has been one of the worst receivers in the NFL this season, that he kind of like short-armed.
He's dead to me.
And then rookie sixth-rounder Damian Ratley had a ball that he probably should have scored on, too, that he kind of – I don't know if he lost it in the sun or really what was the story. But, yeah, Mayfield hasn't played well, but I think we can kind of forgive him. If you don't play well against the Ravens and you don't play well against the Chargers, I think that can be kind of forgiven as long as you crush the matchups you're supposed to, which is what he has this week. Tampa Bay is a lot of 300-yard passer in every game this season. Just listen to some of the stats Tampa Bay ranks last in the league in.
I'm ready.
They rank last in completion rate allowed, 76.8% of passes are being completed against them. They rank last in yards per attempt, 9.3 yards. They rank last in touchdown rate, 8.8% to opposing passers. They rank last in passing points rate. And just fantasy passing points, they allow 27.1 passing points per game to opposing passers. If he can't crush this spot, where he should be like the top streamer on the board this week, I mean, then Baker's got some explaining to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's... If Baker doesn't crush this week, like I just have to quit him. You know, it's like, you know, I know I said if Julio doesn't get in the box last week, I have to quit him, and that ain't happening, of course. But Evan, like if Baker's going to do it, this is the week, isn't it? Tampa just keeps giving up big games to quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, on pace to be one of the worst defenses in NFL history, and they fired their defensive coordinator. So, you know, the immediate reaction from everyone is like, oh, well, you know, what's the new defensive coordinator going to do? Well, guess what? Mark Duffner is a Mike Smith disciple. Came up under him in Jacksonville, linebackers coach. I mean, there's a reason that he was on Mike Smith's staff, and he only has a week anyways to you know, make any changes. Also, it looks like Gerald McCoy might be out for Tampa Bay due to a calf injury. You look at the splits, the on-off splits with Gerald McCoy for the Bucs defense over the past like 5 years, just, you know, it gets even worse, somehow gets even worse. But, you know, I watched Mark Duffner, the interim defensive coordinator for the Bucs, his press conference today. And he was like, we got to stop the run. You know, that's one of my core philosophies. We got to stop the run. And that happened to me, the core philosophy for the Bucs. And guess what? The Bucs have stopped the run. The Bucs have actually been really, really good against the run. But their defense is awful. It's kind of similar to the Browns last year, where they were really good against the run, but they were, you know, one of the easiest teams to score points and move the ball against, because stopping the run is actually a minus EV plan.
Yeah, just because, you know, passing is a little bit worth a little bit more than running the football, especially in today's NFL.
Ryan Smith also left that game with a concussion, and they might have to activate the rookie that they have been healthy and active, Carlton Davis. They benched early in the season, who was just awful in the preseason as well. So he might be up for this game too.
Like, if for those of us who played Baker last week, we just watched that game and we just see him get pounded and pounded and pounded. It's going to be tough for me to click the button again this week, but at the same time, I look at this price tag too. Just 5.8 over on DraftKings against the team in Tampa that, like we said, just gives up tons of points. Reeves, like, if you're playing cash games, he's got to be in there, right?
Well, no, because there's someone else we're going to talk about. But yeah, but sure. Yeah, he's a prime option and priced on both those sites. Both sites affordably to jam in there. Like you said, the floor has been so good. You allow 300-yard passer in every game. I'm more looking at, too, like, what are we going to do with these pass catchers, though, for the Browns? Because that's who we really want to target, especially where these guys are priced. I mean, you look at, since Baker's taken over, the wide receivers have been a problem. The Browns wide receivers, in terms of completion rate, targets of completion rate, are ahead of only the Bills in the NFL. They're under 47% completion rate to wide receivers as a team. You know, Jarvis Landry has really had a really low floor creep in due to, you know, kind of uncatchable targets and how many he's getting. Since Baker's taken over, he's in his three starts, he's only caught 11 of 29 targets. Pro Football Focus has just 13 of those targets as catchable targets. He dropped the other two. So, I mean, but you look at the Bucs, they've allowed 8.4 catches, 22.5 PPR points to everybody's lead wide receivers. The only lead wide receiver that hasn't scored against them was last week. Our guy Julio couldn't get in the paint. But, you know, Jarvis is priced way down. But the guy that's priced really, really cheaply on both sites is David Njoku. And he's a guy that's actually been balling since Baker took over. Well, he's balling in the sense of what his position entails. I mean, he's third in tight ends of all targets, third in catches, sixth in receiving yards, sixth in fantasy points since Baker has come and been the starter. The Bucs have allowed a top 12 tight end in every game this season. They're the only team to do so. They're allowing a league-high 97.2 receiving yards per game to tight ends. I mean, Njoku is the guy I think that you can easily get in the lineups this week, and is the guy that should smash, because, one, he's already been good when Mayfield's been kind of up and down, and, two, he just lines up to smash right here.
Yeah, I mean, Njoku's in a phenomenal spot. And Reeves, when you said one guy who's cheap, I thought you were going to talk about somebody else, another guy who I just never want to play again. That's Antonio Callaway. He's 4.3K. He keeps seeing targets. And Evan, we talk about air yards. He's, you know, as far as, you know, positive regression coming, he's on that list too. But Evan, I think Antonio Callaway just might be bad at football.
Oh, man, I don't know. I'm not ready to say that. He did not play football in 2017. He did not play football.
Neither did I, but I don't drop this many passes.
Oh, jeez. I mean,
yeah, you hadn't thought of it like that.
What was our early season discussion? Could I cover Eric Tomlinson?
Yeah, Eric Tomlinson. Yeah.
Yeah, man, you overestimate yourself, Crane. I mean, he's dropped a lot of passes. You know, that's there's no question. Man, he's still so alluring to me. I mean, 4,800.
They have no one else to play.
I know. He played 97% of the snaps last week. He had 10 targets. Okay. He's going to drop a couple, probably. Probably. Yeah. But my goodness, this is the best case scenario matchup. Baker keeps going to him. Like, this is one thing I love about Baker. He's kind of like DGAF, you know. He came up with, you know, Antonio Callaway, like, that's his boy, and he's going to keep on going to him, and there's nothing that the Browns can do. Rashard Higgins is not coming back this week. Damian Ratley, by the way, he also dropped a touchdown last week. He's kind of interesting, by the way, you know, and he's not a guy that people are going to even think about, because he's only been on the radar for 1 week. He led the team in receiving last week. David Njoku, as Reeves mentioned, my goodness, you know, we have three starts of Baker Mayfield. He leads the team in catches in Baker Mayfield's first start, leads the team in targets in Baker Mayfield's second start, leads the team in catches and targets in the third start, now facing this just atrocious Buccaneers defense, which has just been getting lit up by tight ends. So, I mean, he is in a prime blow-up spot.
I thought you were going to say somebody else, too. I thought we were going to have, like, the return of Rashad Perryman conversation coming back. You see they signed him?
Hang on.
Yeah, the Browns signed Rashad Perryman. That's good. We haven't been disappointed by that guy in a while. So, look at Reeves. He's just like, really? This dude's back in our lives? Yeah, he didn't suit up last week. But you just wait. It's going to happen, man. You know it's going to be like fantasy football playoff season. Somebody's going to need a wide receiver, and they're going to be like, well, I got my Super Bowl. Let's start Rashad Perryman. It's going to be depressing, and nobody's going to like doing it. Evan, I wanted to ask you too about these Cleveland running backs, because this whole situation is kind of a mess, because Carlos Hyde, you know, he's cheap. Duke Johnson, he's good. Doesn't get looks. Speaking of good, Nick Chubb looks like a different difference maker when he's out there. He's just never out there. So what are the Browns doing with this running back situation, Evan?
I mean, you know, despite the fact that Duke Johnson and Nick Chubb have severely outplayed Carlos Hyde recently, you know, the pendulum has not really moved a whole lot. It has started to move a little bit because Duke Johnson has outsnapped Carlos Hyde in back-to-back games. The last one, you know, you can chalk up to the Browns were playing from behind against the Chargers. But guess what? Duke Johnson outsnapped him the week before. And that was like a very even, you know, low scoring game against the Ravens that went to overtime. So, but, you know, they don't like call plays to get Duke Johnson the ball, you know, like they don't. And it's, you know, it's maddening because Duke Johnson is really friggin' good, first of all. And second of all, they are facing this Tampa Bay team that's just getting killed every week on wheel routes. In week four before the bye against the Bears, I mean, two of those touchdowns by the Bears came on wheel routes. They had ripped another big play on a wheel route last week. Tevin Coleman's touchdown came on a wheel route. You know, that's the way to attack this Bucs defense. It's just a vanilla zone. Like, they don't do anything special. You know, it's just – and you can, like, confuse them, and they're filled with young players that, you know, super inexperienced. So – and Duke Johnson would be the guy to be a recipient of wheel routes, but he still has not had over six touches in any game so far this year. You know, his snaps are up, but like they don't proactively try to manufacture touches for him. And I mean, they're just so lacking in creativity. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. But didn't you hear what Hugh said? He said he's, you know, they're learning to run the ball. Okay. Reeves, how are you handling this Browns running back situation? Because I mean, I get it with Duke this week. He's only 4K. Like, could you pair him with Baker in a really low owned stack? Yeah, absolutely. It's just really hard to click that button.
Yeah, I mean, it would just be for grins of making a lineup for a game that's probably going to go over. Every Bucs game has gone over, by the way. They're the only team in the NFL that the over's gone over in every game. Yeah, it's just tough. I mean, Carlos Hyde, he's gone over 4 yards for carry in just one game so far this year. They're just jamming him with touches still. It's crazy. You know, I've kind of been the designated Roto-World Browns watcher. And Nick Chubb came in last week. I didn't even really know, like, what – I was, like, watching a different game. He had, like, a 40-yard run where he lost about 15 of it on a hold. That was Damian Ratley, too, because Damian Ratley made a bunch of mistakes, too, even though he led the team in receiving yardage. But he's like, running, like, four times the speed. It's like he ate the mushroom, man, and just turned big. And, like, you know, Carlos Hyde, he's just such a slog out there. But, like, I haven't talked about no Gerald McCoy. They're going to jam Carlos Hyde with a bunch of touches still. The Browns are probably going to score points. No one gives it more offensive touchdowns per game than the Buccaneers. So if they're in scoring position, who's still going to get the ball? It's still going to be Carlos Hyde. I mean, so you can hold your nose and make some game stacks with Carlos Hyde still in that situation, because the points are going to be there in this game.
Yeah, it's just weird because, like, I want to play Baker, but it's just – and, you know, Reeves, correct me if I'm wrong, because I know you watch a lot of Browns game, which is – God, that's a depressing sentence to say. But they just not airing it out in the red zone all that much, are they?
Well, they don't. The thing is, they don't really get to the red zone. So the Browns lead the league. So the Browns lead the league in possessions that have started in the opponent's side of the field. They lead the league. They've got 15 of them. Guess how many touchdowns they've scored in those drives?
Three.
Yep, three on the button. Scored three times.
Oh, my goodness.
This three is like, touchdowns.
It's like the week that you won the Millie. You just got everything right.
Take that,
light it up.
Tomlinson. Take that,
it's unreal, man. Their ineptitude. I mean, Jabril Peppers had two punt returns in the beginning of that game when that game was close. And he ran deep in Chargers territory. They couldn't get a freaking first down, and they punt. Like, it's just a joke, man. It's the way that their drives just fizzle out. But like I said, they did play. I think benefit of the doubt, though, we know the Ravens have been a good defense, and the Chargers have been swinging back at the pendulum towards being a good defense again. I was super excited because I got to bet the Chargers twice last week. I bet them once laying one, and then Sunday morning they were underdog. I just jammed the money line. So that was the one positive that hit last week.
You know, I'll tell you what, we spent all this time talking about the Browns, and they're not favored in this game. You get a Bucs team, quarterbacked by Jameis Winston, who went off at a really cheap price tag. It was going to be really hard to play to win if you didn't play him, unless you played Brock Osweiler, of course. And, you know, Winston at home against the Browns defense that is vulnerable a number of places. Evan, how are you approaching this Tampa Bay team to this week?
I really just, you know, would any of the listeners be bothered if we just dedicated the rest of the show to like how to fix the Browns?
I don't think so, but you know, we kind of do our own thing here. Okay. Hell, last week I walked off. Like, you know, what are you going to do?
Jameis Winston, I think, is a matchup proof guy at this point. But you know, this Browns defense has been legitimately really good against the pass. So, I mean, the matchup is a concern. And the fact that I think that the Buccaneers are going to have some rushing success against the Browns. You know, they came off the bye. I think that a lot of people, myself included, had expectations that Ronald Jones would be more involved, but Peyton Barber really dominated it. I mean, 62% of the snaps, that's his most since week two, 17 touches. Ronald Jones only had four. The Browns have not defended the run well this year. 4.7 yards per carry allowed to opposing running backs, 7 rushing touchdowns allowed to opposing running backs in 6 games. Peyton Barber is still really cheap on daily fantasy sites, and he's a home favorite, role secure lead back in a good matchup. So that's pretty intriguing. And I think that it takes a little bit of wind out of the sails of Jameis Winston, but, you know, not too much. I mean, I think that, you know, I'm still going to be building lineups with Jameis Winston this week. I would like to get your guys' take on the receiver core. Last week, Chris Godwin, of course, runs the fourth fewest routes in the wideout core behind Mike Evans, behind Adam Humphries, behind D-Jax, and of course he has the best fantasy game, you know. And then OJ Howard plays on, you know, his peg leg, and he has a monster a really good fantasy game for a tight end as well. You know, Cameron Brate teases us early with the 15-yard touchdown beating Devondre Campbell, doesn't even get a target the rest of the game. This pass catcher core, man, to me is really difficult to sort out.
Yeah, I mean, you got a dartboard. Because that could help. You got a dartboard, just figure out where you go. You know, it's like, it's really tough. I'm still going to keep playing OJ Howard. I loaded up on him last week. It worked out a lot more than the Baker Mayfield teams did. Reeves, how are you attacking just this kind of Tampa Bay team? Because the pass catchers, you know, Jameis loves those tight ends. They're both still really, really cheap on DFS sites. Like, how are you attacking this Bucs team?
Yeah, I mean, I think Evan answered the question. You just play Jameis, yes. You know, you cover it. But I do like Howard the most too. In that game, the Browns lost middle linebacker Joe Schobert, left the game with a hamstring injury. He had played every snap of the season so far from that point. His backup, James Burgess, just got placed on IR too, his backup. So I don't think he's going to play. So OJ Howard's in a good spot. He's been a top 7 scorer in each of his past 3 full games. So I like him. And you talk about the tight ends, man. Jameis says this is like long going. Like, he came in the league. Brate even drafted? Was he a 7th round or undrafted?
I think he was undrafted
out
of Harvard.
Yeah, undrafted out of Harvard. Makes this dude millions. Gets a contract this year. His senior season in college, or his last year in college, he made Nick O'Leary up for the tight end award. Nick O'Leary, he's a platypus. He's like a platypus playing football. Like, this dude has like 29-inch arms. He runs like sundial 40. He scored a touchdown last week with the Dolphins. But this dude's like, he was a platypus playing football. And like, Jameis had this dude up for like the tight end of the nation up at
Florida State. No.
Like,
he won
that. He won the award? That's, yeah. See?
What's that award again? The tight end award?
The Kobe Fleener Award. And that's definitely what it is.
You know? I don't remember the name of it.
By the way,
I was thinking of it today. I was like, what is that damn tight end award?
There are people out there who are going to listen to this as a podcast and not going to get to see Evan like showing out just like a couple of very small arms. When as soon as he brings up Nick O'Leary, the arm just go off and he's just kind of doing this little like T-Rex arm motion.
Because he's got the really short arms.
Yeah, like, no, I understand why. Arms.
And if you watch him, like when he like loses a fumble, like you can't get it back. Like, oh, you can't get it back. You know, it's called the John Mackey Award. And Jameis Winston won the John Mackey Award for Nick O'Leary at Florida State.
I swear to God, when you said that John
Mackey has the trophy. Jameis has the trophy.
Yeah, I really thought that for a second I thought there was an award for short arms. I'm like, wow, they have an award for like the guy with the shortest arms in college football, but no, that's the tight end award. My apologies. But yeah, I like the tight ends this week. We kind of went off on a tangent there. I love it.
Yeah. I would mention too in that game that the Browns actually used Denzel Ward to shadow in that game for the first time. I don't know if they can do that here with the depth the Bucs have, but they had him follow Keenan Allen around on that game. And Keenan got him early, two catches on the first drive, right off the bat.
He followed John Brown the week before.
Yeah.
He's balling, dude.
Yeah, Denzel Ward's been really good. So
Who would he follow? Would he follow?
That's
right.
Yeah, Mike that's Evans? What I'm saying.
Would he follow D-Jax? I mean, he's 183 pounds. Mike Evans is 231.
I mean, if
– I don't even know.
I don't know.
We probably just should not concern ourselves because it's not projectable.
Yeah, but if we figure out the answer, then like it creates a huge edge on the other side of the field. Like, if he shadows D-Jax, all of a sudden Mike Evans is a great play. If he shadows Evans, well, Jameis will throw it high because he
overthrew. Well, Evans is clearly the guy that's going to play the most snaps.
Yeah.
So we know that. I mean, he ran double the amount of routes than D-Jax and Godwin ran last week. So, I mean, he's going to play the most. They've got to get Adam Humphries this exercise. I mean, Adam Humphries has got to get out here running around. Because what he played, he ran like 43 routes and had 3 targets. Like, whatever.
He won the Chris Hogan Memorial Award.
Yeah.
And he led the team in receiving yards.
What is life?
DFS gets really weird sometimes.
Nothing matters.
Yeah. Well, after half an hour, we're going to move on to our next game.
We got to real quick hit Browns D up.
Okay, let's hit them up. Go ahead.
They're super cheap on both sides. They lead the NFL in turnovers. They're playing a team that leads the league in turnover rate per drive. You always talk about how it doesn't matter, like when you want to play DFS defenses about points allowed.
Yeah,
the Browns can give up points here at their price and still get you like 6 to 8 points probably pretty well. And the Bucs have allowed 2 teams in the past 3 weeks to have 14 and 17 points in DFS slates. The Browns are like the 4th from the bottom ranked defense on both sites. There's some cheap points to have there.
Yeah, you guys know how I am, man. If there's a cheap defense out there, I prefer him to be at home. But if, like, there's a cheap defense out there that I think can get a few turnovers, a pick six, and we know that the Tampa's going to throw it a lot, especially with Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones being the running backs, I don't hate rolling the dice there. All right, let's move on to the Patriots at the Bears, 49.5-point total. The Patriots, 3.5-point favorites on the road. And, Evan, I'll tell you what, it's a little bit weird seeing the Patriots, A, in a game with a total less than 50, and B, is only 3.5-point favorites against the Bears. What are we doing with the Pats this week? Because I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to keep playing Sony Michel just because he keeps getting so much work for the Patriots, and he's only 5.5K. Like, I just struggle finding a way not to play Sony Michel at that price.
Yeah, this is a really, really interesting game, man, because the total was high. I think it started to move down a little bit, but it's still pretty high. And the Bears are in the rare position of, like, last week was just crazy in the United States in terms of the weather. I mean, we had a 20-degree game in Denver. We had, I mean, I know where I live in Chicago, it was cold, like maybe 40s. Yeah. In Miami, it was 100 freaking degrees. And, you know, the Bears went down there and played an overtime game, and they played 79 snaps.
Yeah. It was only 100 degrees down there because Brock Osweiler was spitting fire.
Okay. And, in their first 4 games, the Bears defense averaged 59 snaps played. And so they played 20 more snaps than usual in this crazy-ass, like, 100-degree weather in Miami in the middle of October somehow. And they also lost Khalil Mack, who did not practice today. Danny Trevathan, their best inside linebacker, left at one point. I didn't check his practice status today, but I will within the next 2 days. So I don't know. I mean, and they got shredded by Brock Osweiler. So – how do we view them? I mean, I think that going into last week, I considered them the best defense in football. Now that looks stupid. I think the Ravens clearly are, but you know, I it's going to be it's a really difficult like matchup to break down. When the Patriots have been in situations where they're facing a really good run defense and a really good pass rush, what they end up doing historically is they throw the ball like 50 times, you know, and it's just quick, short passes. And that would benefit to mitigate the impact of the pass rush, to avoid that stout front. And that would benefit James White, who kind of had a slow game last week. It would benefit Julian Edelman. The Bears have been getting giving up a lot of production to slot receivers this year. A tight end has scored a touchdown against the Bears in four straight games. That kind of bodes well for Rob Gronkowski. Really, for Gronk, what you want to see is Khalil Mack maybe not play, because then he doesn't end up chip blocking the entire damn game like he did last week. But that's kind of my view on the Patriot side right now. I still really, really have a lot of respect for the Bears defense, though, and I think that they could snap back. But I think that there are some reasons to think that they might not bounce back immediately from getting shredded by friggin' Brock Osweiler last week.
I'm just going to say, you mentioned James White, and I like him a lot. He's 6.9K on DraftKings. Like, that is a lot to pay for a guy who's not even the lead runner. Evan, you're shaking your head. No, you don't think
he's not usable on DraftKings.
Yeah, I mean, that price is just like, I can't play him at that price. Reeves, what do you think about the Patriots this week?
Yeah, I kind of like Evan. I've kind of mixed thoughts, especially on the Bears. You know, I was kind of, especially their run defense, I was always hesitant in weekly when I was writing up the Bears, because their run defense had been so good all year. But you see, they opened with Green Bay, then they played Seattle, then they played Arizona, and they played Tampa Bay before the bye. So I was always kind of hesitant, like, is this run D as good? And they came out and gave up 100 yards to Frank Gore. He was the first guy 35 years old to rush for 100 yards since Emmitt Smith. you know, maybe that had to do some with the weather or not. But, I mean, I was still hesitant to see. Like, this Bears defense, I think the pieces are good, and Vic Fangio I have a lot of respect for, because they were an all right defense last year when they didn't have as good as pieces. But their schedule before the bye was kind of – it was just really lacking, you know, and they played just a half of Aaron Rodgers that first game. So I'm this is a kind of a litmus test here. If you do want to bet the Patriots, you got to get now. It's already moved up a half point. So, I mean, you got if you want the best of the number, you better get in ASAP, because that's going to be probably 3.5 or 4 by the time Sunday gets around. You mentioned Sony. We were waiting like the first like 3 or 4 games. They had run like 2 plays inside the 10-yard line, I think, through 3 games. And this is a team that had led the league in almost goal line rushing attempts. They were like first top 5 basically for the last 7 years. You know, that's what led us to the Garrett season. That's what led us to like Burkhead blowing up last year. And we're starting to see it. Since Sony Michel has been activated now, he's second in the league in red zone carries. He's 5th in carries from inside the 10-yard line. He's tied for 4th for carries inside the 5-yard line. We're starting to see those rushing touchdowns start to pile up for the Patriots, like we knew that they were going to eventually. And it's even better now because, you know, I'll never wish ill on Rex Burkhead getting injured, but what he did was create just a 2-man backfield, which makes it a lot easier to navigate for us for fantasy purposes. And Michelle's been awesome. You talked about his price, you know, over on DK. And yeah, I think that you just keep plugging him in. I wish they did throw to him a little more. They wish he had a little more of that Deion Lewis-esque role to him, because he's good in space too. You know, they haven't really created him, you know, getting him in space. He's been used more of like a sledgehammer. But he's really good. It seemed like the electric game from Sony Michel. He has he has some real sizzle to his game if he can get it going. So yeah, I'm with that. The other side I think is a lot more interesting here.
Wait, you're just not gonna talk about your exercise buddy?
No, man, he's off. Oh, we can talk about Gordon, though. You want to talk about what Gordon? Listen, man, we almost had the Gordon party.
We have to talk about Gordon.
He played 81% of the snaps after playing 22.2 and 26.1 the previous 2 games. He led the team at 26% of the targets, 28% of their air yards. If he's going to get that kind of usage per week now going forward, he's just a dude you play, like, for the upside. Like, he's, especially until he gets priced, because he's a dude that can get up to, you know, 7, 8K on FanDuel pretty easily. And he's a dude that can get up to the high sixes on DraftKings pretty easily if he starts popping some games off. Like, we know that this offense is capable of putting up. I mean, Hogan's going to be like the 5th guy now. He's like the 5th wheel in the offense. Like, he's going to be doing a lot more exercising, you know, per week. That's really it, man. Like, we can't give Hogan any love. He came through, man. He got that 3rd-and-1, you know, last week. He made the plays, caught 4 of his targets, did what he was supposed to do. I want to talk about the Bears, though, man.
All right, talk about the Bears.
So do I.
Go for it. By the way, this Bears running game, I'm just done with it.
No way, man. I want to play Tariq Cohen a lot, man. I don't play.
Maybe Jordan Howard's the one I'm done with.
Dude, Cohen, they finally figured out like how to use Cohen like the last two games. And the Patriots linebackers are terrible in space. Like, they're completely atrocious. This is the mismatch. Cohen's the dude, man. Cohen's the dude in this offense this week. I mean, we saw what Kareem Hunt's done twice to Deontay Hightower. Cohen has been just mashing the past 2 weeks. New England just allowed 5 to 105 for Kareem Hunt. They allowed Nyheim Hines to catch 7 catches, which was mostly garbage time. But that's where you want to attack this defense. His role has just totally overtaken Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard snaps per game have gone like this. Tariq Cohen snaps per game have gone like this. You have the benefit of if the Patriots pull away, he's the guy that's going to play a lot more snaps. He should be involved in the game plan, like I said, because it should revolve around him. And he's just so much more electric. You see when he came in the game, he's another speed than so many players in the league. They finally figured out how to use him. I mean, he's 5'1 on DK. Like, you can get a lot of squeeze out of that. He had over 30 points in week 4 on DK, and then he had 24 last week.
All right, you talked me into it. You talked me into Tariq Cohen, as long as you didn't try and talk me into Jordan Howard, because, Evan, I'm done with Jordan Howard. Like, I'm not playing him again. He's dead to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I think that's really fair. You know, the Patriots even, you know, the Patriots have even been bad in run defense so far, and I really don't want a whole lot to do with Jordan Howard. They both lost fumbles last week. Jordan Howard's occurred at the goal line. Tariq Cohen lost a fumble later on. But as Reeves kind of mentioned, you know, and it's not only – one of the reasons that I had optimism about Jordan Howard entering the season – was that it looked like they were going to use him more in the passing game. And they really did try early on. but not only are his snaps on the way down, but his routes run are, like, swiftly on the way down. And that's really going to lower his floor, lower his ceiling and everything. So he's going to just be a totally touchdown-reliant guy going forward. Mitchell Trubisky.
Ooh.
Has been a top
the
five.
Biscuit.
The biscuit. The truth biscuit has been a top five fantasy quarterback in back-to-back games. I think that, you know, having watched the games, the first one was just clean because they were facing the Mike Smith defense. And, I mean, there was no pressure, you know, it was just playing T-ball in the first one. Last week, I thought it was, you know, not as pretty, but man, I mean, he has like a really good fantasy friendly skill set because he can run. Number one, you know, he's got that Konami code, as that term that Reeves has coined. He is fifth or top five among quarterbacks in rushing yards, even while having an early season bye. That raises his floor and his ceiling. And the Patriots do not bring pressure. I mean, they are last in the NFL in sacks. They're 25th in quarterback hit rate. There's a lot of talent around Mitchell Trubisky. And, you know, he is learning a new offense, and he's entering his, sixth start in this offense. He's got Tariq Cohen. He's got Allen Robinson. He's got, you know, Taylor Gabriel is balling, by the way. He's got, you know, Trey Burton on these gimme shovel passes for touchdowns. You know, they love to run that play, man. They love to run the shovel pass. That is an Andy Reid staple. And that, of course, is the coaching tree where Matt Nagy comes from. But there's like legit a lot of talent around him, and they're facing one of the worst defenses in the NFL at home. So is Mitchell Trubisky a cash game play this week?
Oh, I mean, we know Reeves is going to say no because we know who Reeves wants to play.
No, but I think he's in play. He's in that bucket of guys, and he's in the pricing tier where I want to shop at. You know, Evan brought up the big point. We brought it up last week. But the Patriots just don't get pressure on the quarterback. I mean, they're the worst team in the league at pressuring the quarterback and sacking the quarterback. Mitchell Trubisky is ninth in the NFL in quarterback rating with a clean pocket. He's 17th under pressure. So, I mean, that's a big time dynamic. He hit on the rushing. He's rushed for 53 and 47 yards the past 2 weeks. He's averaging 4.5 rushing points now per game. That's fourth of all quarterbacks in the league. I mean, those are all things that you're speaking my language and a lot of those things. I mean, I was high on Trubisky coming into the season. He was like one of my favorite two QB guys. I got a ton of them in best ball. I really loved his situation. And, you know, he started off slow. Didn't play well, or, you know, it could be some of its defensive induced or just him getting acclimated, you know, to what his surroundings are. And I think them getting involved, some of these speed players that weren't involved earlier in the season, they were a slower paced team, you know, earlier in the season. They were great. I remember how great they looked their opening drives the first couple weeks. You'd watch me like, man, this offense looks so great. And they were just like terrible the rest of the nights. They played those two primetime games to open. And then they start getting Cohen involved. They start getting Taylor Gabriel involved. And this offense starts to look a lot different. You know, they started using some of those playmakers they brought in instead of just jamming Jordan Howard in and dumping the ball down to Jordan Howard. This offense took some new life. So, yeah, I mean, I'm on board with Trubisky.
Yeah, but go ahead, Evan.
He was one of my highest owned quarterbacks in best ball, too. I mean, I was just smashing him every time, like, you know, 16th round. I mean, he was there like so cheaply, and there were a lot of bad quarterbacks, you know, down there that you really didn't want, like Tannehill, and Dalton was a sweet pick there. Alex Smith has been, he's not terrible, but definitely not really good, you know. But Trubisky was a guy that I was slamming too, in best ball. So I hope selfishly for my best ball team that he can keep it up. But he's been, I mean, a top five fantasy quarterback in back-to-back games. And now he gets at home one of the best matchups possible.
All right, let's move on to our next game. And it's the Rams at San Francisco. Total of 52. The Rams, 9.5-point favorites. And here, let me just break down the Rams side really quick. Play Todd Gurley. How'd I do, Reeves?
You did good. I mean, there's more players to play, but you definitely just want to keep – like, Todd Gurley is in, like, the – I don't play NBA DFS, but he's in the Russell Westbrook zone from a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Remember, like, when Russ was just triple-doubling every night? And, like, his price just kept climbing, but it didn't matter. Like, if you were playing, you just had to play him. Mm-hmm. That's, like, where we are. Like, you just have to play Todd Gurley. No matter the cost, you just start your team. You go in, you click Todd Gurley's name, and you build the rest of the team around that. Because there's not a player – that's in a more fantasy conducive system than him. They lead the league in running. You know, they run every play out of three wide receiver sets out of 11 personnel. He's like number one in the league in running against light boxes because they have a run pass option every play. He gets the most carries inside the red zone, inside the 10, inside the 5, near the paint than any other running back. He's used in the passing game. Everything you want is he's getting in spades, and he's on one of the highest scoring offenses in the NFL. Like, it's just really simple. You start there, you click the button, and you move on.
Yeah, and you know, with Gurley, obviously, he's going to get a ton of usage. With the Rams, though, Cooper Kupp, he's out, and he was one of the guys getting a lot of red zone looks. And Evan, now we're looking at Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, John Reynolds, maybe. What do we do with this Rams passing attack?
Josh Reynolds.
What did I say?
John Reynolds?
Yeah, I don't know who that is. That's a fullback somewhere, probably.
Yeah, Reynolds. I mean.
Go Reynolds.
I like John.
Got him.
I like Josh Reynolds. I thought the best comparison for him coming out of Texas A&M was the old Bengals receiver, Chris Henry. Really long dude, long strider, you know, a guy that he didn't necessarily have like great time speed. I think that he was at like 4.5 flat or 4.52. But he could move because he, you know, like just every step that he takes, he like eats up ground. I think we're going to see Robert Woods in the slot and Brandon Cooks plays most of his snaps on the left side. Okay. And we're facing the 49ers now. I thought that Richard Sherman was going to be washed entering the year. Richard Sherman has always been a stationary left cornerback that will never change. Teams are not throwing at him. Whether or not he's washed does not matter because teams are not throwing at him. That matters. You know, it's similar. You remember Nnamdi Asamoah?
Yeah.
For like the Raiders and the Eagles. Well, even toward the end of his Raiders career, like it didn't matter if he was washed because teams just were not throwing at him. Teams would just throw at the other dude. And that's what teams are doing against the 49ers. You know, they're throwing at Greg Maybin or Akello Witherspoon or, you know, K'Wan Williams and, you know, that's like where I want to look. So I want to look at Brandon Cooks and especially Robert Woods in the slot, man. I mean, that's, this is, he's like, I think he's like almost a lock button play, you know? And I mean, it obviously is relative to price, you know, but my goodness, he is in a great, great, great spot here. And I think that Josh Reynolds is still a good play, especially because he's so cheap. But I think that he's going to end up with the toughest matchup in the Rams receiver core.
Okay, then I'm just going to have to go and play John Reynolds instead if Josh Reynolds is going to have a tough night. Can't play him then. On the San Francisco side, we got C.J. Beathard. Had a nice game last week. The old beat hard getting it done over there. He's only 4.8K over on DraftKings this week, Reeves. Talk to me about your boy, C.J.
Yeah, man. Listen, man, 4.8K is just ludicrous. So we look at C.J. Beathard in his starts. In his career starts in the NFL, he's averaged 21.1 rushing yards, 259.9 passing yards, 18.6 DraftKings points. He's 4.8K. He had 18.9 points last week. The week before, he had 27.7. The week before that, he had 19.8. What's the story? Why is this dude 4.8? Like, it makes no sense. You go back to last year, the game he got benched and finally they put Garoppolo in was his only like real terrible game for fantasy. The week before that, he had 26.1 DK points. The week before that, 18.4. His first start, he had 16.4. The dude is good. Like, for fantasy, like, he's what you want. He's kind of like in that Ryan Fitzpatrick, like, hair on fire mode. Like, he's going to turn it over twice, but he's going to run around, make plays with his leg. Like, they're probably going to lose. This game's definitely going over, by the way, too. It's 52. Like, you look at the Rams games, the Rams are probably going to approach 40 themselves. This game's definitely going over.
Yeah.
And the Rams have been bad, like, straight up bad on defensively. They allowed 322 yards to Case Keenum the week before. The week before that, they got completely bludgeoned in the run game by Seattle and gave up three passing touchdowns to Russell Wilson on 13 completions. The week before that, Kirk Cousins threw for 422 yards on Thursday night. Phillip Rivers got him for 17 points, DK points the week before that. The price makes no sense to me. 4.8K, like, you can play this dude in cash, like, pretty easily and probably come away with 20 points. It's really wild to me that he's 4.8 on DK. I'm more attracted there, but he's 6'4 on FanDuel too. I think you can totally play. I think he's totally viable. He's got weapons. The 49ers backfield, the hodgepodge backfield, has been lighting it up. Like, it hasn't been noticeable because one guy isn't doing it. They are second in the NFL in yards from scrimmage for backfield. They trail only the Chargers in yardage per game. They have been blowing teams up in the run game. All their guys are functional kind of in the passing game. Like, they don't have like one guy that's like a script conducive play. They've kind of just been like willing to dump it down to whoever's in the game, including Kyle Juszczyk. But they are producing tons of yardage in that backfield. And the guy, like, Breida is the obvious play. He's at double digit PPR points in five of the six games. He even got there in the game he left with an injury. The thing is, he's not fully healthy still. And, you know, he's getting, you know, they still played Raheem Mostert, whose career, like, high was like 11 rushing yards in a game before last week. And he comes in and runs for 87 yards. But that just shows you this offensive line, this system is in full effect. And I don't know if anyone's really noticing because the one guy isn't like really stepped up and providing fantasy points. But the 49ers backfield has been giving tons of production so far to start the season.
Yeah, and you know, this is what C.J. Beathard's known for. He's known to dump it off to the running backs. Matt Breida, yeah, he was still a little bit banged up, but I mean, he's only 5.3K. Evan, I actually really like the combination of Beathard and Breida. And then you want to throw in Marquise Goodwin, only 4.6K, caught a bomb yesterday. I didn't know Beathard could throw deep like that.
Oh, he's got a gun, man.
I had no idea. I just checked out.
He had at the combine, he had the second highest velocity at the combine, at the 2017 combine. And he's also super athletic, yo. He has 8 career starts. He has 4 rushing touchdowns. That's a 50% probability, right?
Wait, hold on. I got it. Yes. Yes.
I think he ran like 4.6 coming out of Iowa. You know, where he, as Levitan says, he showered with George Kittle, you know. So I like C.J. Beathard. I mean, he has taken a second year step forward. Kyle Shanahan loved this dude coming out of college.
Yeah.
You know, and Kyle Shanahan is not necessarily you know, a great talent evaluator. I remember his dad, one of the reasons that his dad kind of petered out, although I have great respect for his dad, one of the offensive masterminds of in NFL lore. Like, I am not trying to, you know, diminish his dad, but that was one of the reasons that his dad never maybe maximized his upside, was because was not great in the personnel side. And it's possible that, that Kyle ends up being like his dad, you know, to some extent. I think we all become our fathers to some extent. But I think that, man, they are scheming great offense. Like, they, so what they did, at least leading into Monday night's game, was they made it really a point to, for CJ Beathard to get the ball out of his hands quickly. He had the fastest time to attempt in the NFL during his two starts, because, you know, CJ Beathard, they know his weaknesses. Like, they know that he does not have the greatest pocket awareness, and he takes like just crazy ass hits in the pocket. But, you know, they made sure to get the ball out of his hands quickly, and he's been super, super productive. I mean, and I agree with Reeves. All right. So CJ Beathard at 6,400 on FanDuel, or Blake Bortles at home against the Texans at 6,500.
Oh, let's auto smash CJ Beathard, man.
Okay.
Oh, not Blake Bortles week. Not again. My heart can't handle that, man. Like, let's not do that. I'll tell you what, let's talk about some other quarterbacks though, because we got to get moving along. We're running over on this show. The Browns talk, man. Wasn't messing around. Other quarterbacks you like this week, Reeves? Who you got? Reeves, you're on mute, buddy.
I froze you out for a second there, my bad.
Hey, yeah, I can't blame you. All right, other quarterbacks you got this week. Who you like?
We kind of talked about, like, all the guys. Like, I'm really circling. I mean, a couple guys I just want to bring up for the sake of maybe this is just the all Konami show, because I want to bring up Cam Newton, because the Eagles have only faced one mobile quarterback, and Mariota ran 10 times for 46 yards and a touchdown. The last time Cam Newton played the Eagles, he ran all over them a year ago. He ran for 71 yards and a touchdown. I'm interested in him. And I want to bring up, just for a conversation piece, just what happened to Deshaun Watson last week and to where he is this week. So Deshaun Watson is priced at 5,500 on DraftKings. It's the cheapest by far he's been all season. He, after he played that Sunday night game where he channeled his inner Robert Griffin and tried to run over every dude that he played defensively, he came back last week, was on the injury report all week with a chest injury. He ran one time. He ran one time for 3 yards, and his other rushing attempt was a kneel down that he was credited with. And, like, this is a defense you need your legs against, because they we just saw a lot. Like, Dak Prescott still had the same Dak Prescott passing game he had last week that he's had for 18 games in a row. The dude just ran for 82 yards and a touchdown. Earlier in the season, Marcus Mariota ran for 51 yards against this Jaguar defense. If you go back to last year, they got absolutely crushed on the ground by quarterbacks in the rushing game. Mm-hmm. Mariota ran for 50 yards and 24 yards against them. Jacoby Brissett ran for 36 and 31. Russell Wilson ran for 50 yards against them. Tyrod Taylor ran for 30 yards against them. Like, they the way they play defense, you can stack rushing points. I mean, I'm not telling anyone to chase points against the Jaguars, but if he is going to run around for his price, like, that's a dude that has like a 30 to 35 point game, like, in his range of outcomes.
Yeah, he's just not going to have it for my team. I just can't do it. There are so many other better quarterback plays that I feel more comfortable with. Evan, who else do you like at quarterback?
I actually like that Jaguars-Texans game to shoot out.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I think that, like, neither team is going to be able to run the ball on the other team, and it's going to put a lot of onus on the quarterbacks. We've already seen a downward movement on the total. I think that's dumb. And I like Bortles and Deshaun Watson actually in that game. But Carson Wentz at home against Carolina. Carolina has not played well in terms of pass defense, has not rushed the passer well. And I like Carson Wentz. He's been on an upward trajectory. Andrew Luck, I think, is in play every single friggin' week, man, because dude is throwing the ball 50-plus times a game. And, you know, volume is not necessarily the number one thing that we look for in quarterback play, but when we get it in the, you know, at the range that Andrew Luck is giving it to us, it's a little different. He may get T.Y. Hilton back this week. Of course, Andy Dalton on the road against the Chiefs. And Joe Flacco, man, this is gross. Ooh. I know. Don't leave the show, Crane. Don't leave the show.
Oh, why? He's catching, we were having such a good show.
He's catching a really bad Saints defense on the road at home, and I just wanted to mention him.
It is weird to see Baltimore favored over the Saints. Like, I understand why. Yeah. They got a great defense, and Saints defense is bad. But it just seems weird to see. By the way, I'm going to mention one other spot. If you want to pay up to be contrarian, Kirk Cousins to Adam Thielen is an interesting stack this week. Yep. I don't think anybody's going to have. All right, running backs that we have not talked about. Reeves, go. Who you got?
I mean, we kind of – I mean, the main guys to play, if you want it, because like you talked about that Thursday through Monday slate. I mean, Joe Mixon's in a smash spot. We talked about the Chiefs defense. Like, if the team was going to be able to run for four quarters on them, what was going to happen? And it did. You know, the Chiefs are allowing 193.2 total yards per game to running backs. They're allowing 36 PPR points per game to opposing backfields. You have a guy, Joe Mixon, who doesn't share touches with anyone. You know, they're not getting Mark Walton involved. So, like, he's a guy that's just going to get a bunch of touches in his backfield against a team that's just been horrible against the position. Easy play. We talk about Saquon. He's joined Kareem Hunt now as the only two players at 100 yards of scrimmage in each of their first six games. Opposing teams are targeting running backs 27.7% of time against the Falcons. That leads the league by a lot. Only James Conner's run more pass routes than Saquon Barkley. It's pretty easy autoplay for Saquon Barkley this week. The Falcons have allowed over 20 PPR points to every lead running back that I faced, and that includes our boy Peyton Barber last week.
Oh, boy. What a world. Evan, do you have anybody else? Because I got one guy I wanted to ask you guys about. What about Buck Allen at home against the Saints? Only 4.5K. What, Reeves just rolled his eyes? Evan's not saying anything? You got crickets over here?
I feel like this is a replay of, like, Kobe Fleener, your Kobe Fleener week every week for, you know, half of the season.
Wait, do I say Buck Allen every week?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I was going to
say. I actually say Buck Allen every week.
Okay, so I was just making sure. I was like, wow, did I just have this Buck Allen thing that I never knew about?
No, I'm not sure yet. I really don't have a strong opinion.
All right, so what are some of the other running backs you're looking
at? You did four touches last week.
Four touches. That's dicey.
Yeah.
I expected him to be much more involved last week, but he lost a second half fumble in the game before, and Harbaugh has been, like, you know, crazy adamant, you know, about, like, benching guys for loose balls. So something to keep in mind. Peyton Barber at home, we discussed him against the Browns. Marlon Mack looked really good last week against the Jets. And now is a home favorite against the Bills. I don't trust Marlon Mack, and I really liked him coming out of college. But even as someone who really liked him coming out of college, I've still never been able to really trust him because he's such a boom bust player. But this is a really good spot for him. Kareem Hunt at home against the Bengals. Zeke, I think, will probably, you know, maybe be the chalk this week against a really bad Redskins run defense. Saquon is going to hit it really, really big against Atlanta on Monday night. And then in the Thursday night game, David Johnson. I'm surprised that the Cardinals are not favored in this game. Do you guys have any opinions on that? I think the Cardinals should be favored over the Broncos on Thursday night.
I think I'm going to roll the dice with Royce Freeman in this game. That's a single game, like single game slate.
It's the two worst run defenses in the NFL on Thursday night. It's one of those things. So the David Johnson thing is crazy. Like, I just don't know if they can exploit a good matchup. It really, I want to believe. I think it's season long. You easily smash him in. It's not even a question. He averages, so they're just like running him into like his guards on first down. He averages 1.9 yards per carry on first down carry rushing attempts. He averages 4.5 yards in every other carry he gets outside of first downs. They just literally line up on first down and they just slam him into the defense. That's like what they do on offense. This offense is like high school level type of offense. They have no creativity. It's just a joke. It's hard for me. I've been betting the Cardinals a ton. I bet them three of the past 4 weeks. If you want to bet him, you just wait because you get a better number tomorrow night because it's been moving the other direction. But yeah, I want to believe because of the matchup, everything lines up. I do like the take on rolling out, like even the showdown slate, rolling out some Royce Freeman though, because so the Broncos are a really good run team. They run the ball well all year. The problem is they've trailed for the most amount of snaps in the NFL. They can never stay with the run because they're terrible. They're a bad football team. And Royce Freeman gets scripted out because he doesn't catch passes and Phillip Lindsay's been better than him. So he leaves it. So he's not involved in the game that much, but if they're going to have a game where they control script and maybe score some touchdowns in the run game, like it's probably going to be him, you know, be the guy that gets those carries. So, I mean, yeah, I don't mind taking some showdown slots on Rolls Royce.
All right. So let's talk wide receivers really quick. We got to get out of here. Evan, I know you wanted to talk about Tyreek Hill at home this week against the Bengals, and the home road splits are continue to be a little bit silly with Tyreek Hill.
Well, I just wanted to kind of run this by you guys because the road splits are getting to be like, you know, WTF is going on here. So I would love for you guys to maybe just opine on why this is happening. I tend to think it's still small sample variance. Everything that we do in the NFL is small sample. And that's why, you know, even just talking about like a 3-game stretch is, I still feel like uncomfortable doing it. I mean, I feel like I have to do it, but, you know, I feel uncomfortable at times talking about like trends from a 3-game stretch, you know, like, so, but do you guys have any explanations for Tyreek?
I don't. I think it's just randomness. What about you, Reeves?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything. I mean, looking at some of the splits, I mean, it's tough because, I mean, he's got – your first instinct is like maybe it's a T.Y. Hilton thing and he, you know, is he not playing on the rug? You know, like he's good. And because a lot of these road games are, you know, New England, turf, you know, but then he's got these big games against the Chargers. He's got these big games against the Raiders on the road. I just think it's variance. I think he's just that kind of player, you know. I mean, I saw – what was the tweet? I don't know if it was NFL Research or someone had where he's got, you know, the – A.J. Green has, like, the most 50-yard touchdown since he entered the league. But, like, then Tyreek has more than him in, like a 2.5-year sample, like, just 50-yard touchdown. It's just – he's just that guy, I think. I mean, you're going to get these huge plays. When they don't, he's going to have those lines that are just kind of, like, 60 yards, you know, kind of be in that range. But then he's going to have those 140s. I mean, dude, that third touchdown that he scored last week was just bananas.
That was like, wild.
Was it Harmon that caught? Harmon tried to set himself up for the angle. Like he stopped. Like he was like, "I'm gonna stop because I know I'm about to get dusted. I'm gonna cut off this angle." And he had no chance.
Right past him.
It was like unbelievable, man.
One of my high stakes leagues last week. We were down by like, I mean, 55 or something entering the Sunday night and the Monday night. And we had Mason Crosby and Tyreek and we came back and won. And I mean, I was like watching, I was like, I can't believe that this happened.
Yeah. I remember in my high stakes season long league, the guy had like Brady, Edelman, Gostkowski and Sony Michel. And I'm sitting there with Tyreek Hill. And I was up a little bit to start, and I ended up winning by like 4 or 5 points. I'm like, this is just a beautiful thing. Awesome. That third touchdown, though, like the guy's like, no, I'm not going to cover. I'm just going to set up the tackle, and Tyreek just takes off. It was great. All right, any other wide receivers we haven't touched on, Reeves, that you want to?
I mean, listen, I think that you could totally, especially on the main slate, like you could pay up for Thielen at this point.
Yes.
So he's playing the Jets. Now, the Jets aren't going to have Buster Screen, I still don't believe. But think about this. Buster Screen, we always talk about these bad corners. He was playing over someone. Yeah, Let me run off these stat lines. The Jets have allowed to slot receivers on the season from last week backwards. 7 catches, 86 yards, and a touchdown. 11 catches, 126 yards, and a touchdown. 11 catches, 142 yards. 9 catches for 122 yards. 8 catches for 81 yards and a touchdown. And 8 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown. Adam Thielen leads the league in just about every wide receiver category you can come up with. He leads the league in targets, receptions, and first downs on third down. He leads the league in first down receptions. He's second in the league in yak yards. Leads the league in targets. Leads the league in everything.
He's Don Hutton.
And he's in the smash spot. Like the Jets have just been getting roasted in this area of the field the entire season.
Yeah. I always love this when people are like, oh, I hate that Buster Screen's out. That means I can't pick on him. You're picking on somebody worse than Buster Screen then. Like, it's going to be a good spot. Evan, any other wide receivers you need to touch on?
No, I think we covered them all.
All right, great. Fine. We will not talk about Will Fuller then if you really don't want to.
No, I don't think we need to talk about him. I mean, he is the guy who has literally been out there running wind sprints.
He's exercising,
the last
yeah.
2 weeks. I mean, he's got six targets the last two weeks. He's been playing, you know, 90% of the snaps. And, you know, it's rough out there. I mean, and now he's facing the Jags. So, I mean, would you play him in a season-long league this week, Will Fuller?
At this stage, I don't think so, because we know Hopkins is going to get his targets. And Hopkins also on DK is kind of underpriced. He had over 18 PPR points in both the games against the Jags last year, and he only played with one half of Watson. And the way they've been played against slot receivers, I mean, all their touchdowns are out of the slot they've allowed this season. And they're kind of using like QT and that like extension of a run game type of role. So, I mean, I'm not really high on Will Fuller.
All right, guys, we got to get off here. Thank you so much for watching, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. If you're downloading this on the pod, thanks for Roto-Grinders, Roto-Worlds for sponsoring the show. I'm Eric. He's Reeves. He's Evan for Kobe Fleener. We'll see you guys later. Peace.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.